Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill Gross, good morning.
Hi, Tom.
You have been doing much, much better. In fact, I think it's safe to say in the last 30 days, you're a genius. How's it feel to be a genius, at least for the month of May?
Well, it makes me remember my days of youth, which is always a good thing. You know, you're right. The last few months have experienced, I think, one of the most significant performance turnarounds in PEMCO's history, actually. And as retail and institutions get wind of this, and they will at some point, I suppose, see our 12-month numbers in addition to our 1 to 2 month numbers over the next few weeks, there's going to be fear on our competitors' faces again. I mean, the game is on and PEMCO's back.
Well, it's nice to hear. Let me start with the jobs report, Bill Gross, and then we'll get over to finance and to bond investment. I think I haven't seen a report come in this much on target as before. Is this a jobs report that explains the new neutral?
It certainly explains the new normal in terms of a 2 to 3% real growth rate. The new neutral is still up for grabs in terms of what it is and what it's going to be. You know, we've been rather upfront, I guess, in terms of this new concept as to the Fed and other central banks trying to find out what new neutral Fed funds rate will produce not too much growth and not too little growth and not too much inflation and not too little inflation, as Janet Yellen said, you know, something that's just right. And of course, that's something that central banks have been trying to do for decades. But in this particular case, it's a difficult proposition because we've never been in this situation with a high debt level and with structural headwinds that make a policy rate adjustment very difficult.
Within this, and in speaking with Alan Krueger earlier this morning of Princeton, this is original economics. And you know, it's easy for a guy like Jim Glassman to talk about as an economist. Bill Gross has to actually put money where mouth is. How much of your day-to-day work looking at the job market and then bringing that over to the bond market, do you feel like you're on original territory right now, or are you working with templates that you've known for decades?
No, you know, working with a foundation that hopefully has been built up over decades, like a coral reef, I guess. But, you know, we've put a lot of thought into this over the years, and Paul McCulley's back. You know, Paul, the inventor of the shadow banking system, and, several other concepts, looked at this 5-6 years ago in terms of the real rate of interest and what it should be. And other Fed economists have done that as well. Back in 2001, a paper by Laubach and Williams, you know, suggested that real interest rates were variable, where, you know, someone like Irving Fisher back in the 30s said that they were fixed. And so what we've tried to do over the past few months is to guess, much like the Fed is guessing, as to what this real policy rate should be. You know, the blue dot people, the blue dot participants at Fed meetings basically suggest it should be 2% real and 4% nominal. We think it has to be much lower, much closer to 0% real and 2% nominal. And here's the important distinction and difference and why this matters. It matters because the policy rate, the new normal neutral policy rate, basically determines all other asset prices over time. And if the rate is much lower, then stocks are less bubbly and high yield spreads are much less narrow, and we can go on apace as opposed to being afraid that there's a popping ahead.
You can't make this up, folks. As Bill Gross talks about a lower nominal top line animal spirit in GDP, the sticker comes across the Bloomberg terminal. Of course, this is President Hollande meets with President Obama and world leaders in Normandy. French 10-year government bond yield drops to record 1.657. Bill Gross, I'm so honored to have you on during this. Everybody listening, whether they're a sophisticate like you or not, says lower rates means dampened animal spirits. You just said that within a lower nominal GDP. Do we need to get used to a 6% unemployment rate?
Oh, I think we do. The Fed and other central banks are trying to adjust to a new Nehru, so to speak, the natural rate of unemployment. And it used to be 4.5% way back when, or at least 5 to 10 years ago. And now, what is it? The early Fed call was 6.5%. And once we went below that, things might change. But I think it really is closer to 5.5 to 6. And that's what you hear from Fed speeches along the way.
Bill, in 15 seconds, what is your total return bogey for your investors in the total return fund? Are they going to make 6%? Are they going to make 4%? Is your new total return 3%?
Well, they're up about 4% so far this year, and we're 5 months through. I wouldn't annualize that because yields are lower, and yields are an important component of total return. But I'd say the total return fund is headed for a 4 to 5% year, and that's not bad when inflation's 1.5%. It's what we try to do. And at the end of the year, the total return fund is going to be close to the top of the list in terms of performance.
Bill, I have in my ute seared to my mind the phrase from John Templeton, "There will be a shortage of bonds." When you see what Draghi did yesterday, when you see what you have to deal with your Monroe trader in the trenches at PIMCO, are we in an era where there's a shortage of bonds?
Well, we're in a temporary era. No doubt the U.S. deficit is much lower than expected, and so the Treasury isn't issuing much, and the Fed, although they're tapering, is still buying a lot. And so we've got this temporary lull. I think ultimately that resolves itself. The situation in the Eurozone is quite interesting, Tom. I mean, last night, Italian yields and Spanish yields came down by 20 basis points alone.
I want to rip up the script here, Bill. I got to make some news. Does PIMCO do in their morning meeting today to adjust or adapt to the new Draghi world?
Well, we're big holders of Italy and Spain. We've benefited from it. The question becomes, at this point, are yields so low that they don't make much sense anymore? Let me give you an example. Italy and Spain, two countries close to bankruptcy 2 years ago, they've now got five-year debt trading at 30 basis points less than the Treasury, the U.S. Treasury. And here's the staggering thing. Their long-term debt, their 30-year debt, is under 4% and close to long-term U.S. Treasury. So it's been a staggering turnaround, and it does bring questions to bear in terms of the long-term policy rate in the Eurozone, but actually what the credit spread should be for countries such as Italy and Spain, which haven't really resolved all of their problems.
It's kind of a bizarre situation because the yields are so low. Who's buying these bonds?
Well, companies like PIMCO, it's made sense, Mike, to buy an Italian five-year at 2% and to watch it roll down the curve with the expectation that Draghi will not change the policy rate now for 3 or 4 years because of this TLTRO program that, in effect, allows banks to borrow at 25 basis points until 2018. So, that's an important move and an important signal that policy rates there are going to be there for a long time. And so, there was significant participation by PIMCO and others to move out of treasuries and into Italian and Spanish bonds because of the potential that we experienced last night.
So in Mario, Bill trusts.
Well, so far, so good. And that's interesting, Mike. I mean, you made a point 30 minutes ago about how the ECB was still tight in terms of their balance sheet and the Fed was loose. And that's true. The ECB, had an LTRO program that expanded their balance sheet by $1 trillion or so. And it's been contracting for the last 2 years and still is in the process of contracting because this new program doesn't start until September. So Mario's a good talker. He's promised 2 years ago to do whatever it takes. And he's done a little bit, I guess, in terms of the negative deposit rate. But so far, he's let the market do his bidding. The PIMCOs of the world have done his bidding and lowered these rates by 500 basis points. So we'll have to see ultimately whether he's true to his word. But up until this point, it's been his word that's been true.
Why do you believe him and not Ben and Janet?
Well, and that's a good point. I do believe Ben and Janet in terms of their verbiage when they talk about an extended period of time. It's obvious that they've changed it up in terms of the twist and the lack of twist, and then the taper tantrum, and all of those things into consideration. But the Eurozone seems to have a particular problem in terms of a near deflation, and so that condition alone suggests that Draghi should be listened to more closely.
Bill, your stamp collection is worth the GDP of an emerging market. I assume you put in a bid on the Los Angeles Clippers as well, and Ballmer outbid you. With that said, Bill, this mumbo-jumbo we're talking about your fund and about yields, is the underlying reality of financial repression. We have a world of retirees, of savers, that can't do this at Bill Gross's 3, 4, or maybe even 5% nominal return. When do the elites take the retirees of this world out of their repressed straitjacket?
Well, and that's been your question and my question for a while. Interesting, Draghi yesterday seemed to suggest that the savers would be okay, but he was thinking about the banks and their poor situation. But you're right, in terms of the United States and the financial repression, it's the savers that get the short end of the stick. And they did, Tom, back in a period of time from 1945 until 1979.
Yes, thank you. But that's the point. That's like, what, 15 years?
Oh, no, it's longer than that. It's 34 years that they got a short end of the stick.
Are you predicting that for the next 34 years? That's the heart of the discussion, isn't it, Bill?
Well, Rogoff and Reinhardt suggest that there's a biblical cast to it, not 7 years of fat and 7 years of lean, but perhaps in this case, if we're going by history and if we're going by the Japanese example, at least 15 to 20 years of fat, which we had, and 15 to 20 years of lean. So, yeah, interest rates, they may not be negative in real terms, but they're going to be close to zero in real terms for a long, long time. And that discourages savers and promotes less consumption, because remember, if you can't get 4% on your 10-year bond and you can only get 2.5%, then you have to save more for college and you have to save more for retirement, and that means less consumption. So it's sort of a negative loop that low interest rates ultimately produce.
Bill Gross, PIMCO, always interesting to listen to, but today perhaps more than ever, given the fact that the bond market reaction we're seeing around the world to the last 2 days, and the fact that he's been out in front of it.
Bill Gross, thank you so much. After a really challenging set of quarters and in a very good 30 days for Mr. Gross's yields, drive lower.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.